Father, we thank you for this time we have in the Word tonight. We thank you for the privilege and the honor that we have of coming before your throne. Lord, I'm so thankful that you love us so much. In the moment of the fall, you started reaching out to us, and you've never stopped, and you never will. Lord, you love us so much, and we thank you. And Father, we choose tonight to open our spiritual eyes to look into the heart of God tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that you've opened your heart so that we can see, so that we can know, that you've granted us revelation knowledge of who you are. Lord, we thank you. And thank you for teaching us who we are.
Yes, sir.
The absolute truth of your word. And so, Father, as we study together tonight, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing the Father's heart to us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We're talking about in our series is walking in the ways of the Lord, and this is part 41. I don't know how many there will be, but I'm not in no hurry. So we're just going to the title of today's message, or tonight's message, is Everything Good Comes From God.
Amen.
Everything good comes from God. You notice that statement's qualified. It doesn't say everything comes from God. It says everything good comes from God.
Amen.
Where does the bad come from then? It doesn't come from God. I mean, it doesn't come from God. You know, so we know that. Case closed thing. There's our foundational statement for this part. We're studying the goodness, the fruit of goodness. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is committed to and diligently walking the love walk, developing the fruit of the Spirit in every area of their lives. They are habitually other-centered. That is so important, that statement. The fruit of goodness is habitual lifestyle for this person. It doesn't mean you're going to be there just by decision and you're there. It means just progressively you're going to be developing this fruit of goodness. You're going to be developing. And we mentioned it before, but the only place that you can do anything is in a now moment. So many of us get locked up in our past or tied up in our future. We're not living there.
Mm.
We're only living in our now. And our now moment is where we make these decisions.
Mm.
Every now moment, we continuously make another decision to allow the goodness of God to flow through us. Then as we look back, we see a lifetime of goodness, where goodness and mercy are following me wherever I go, because I've been making those decisions in now moments. Will I not have a now moment where I don't make that decision? Oh yeah. If I'm breathing, I'm going to make a mistake or two. But what do? I change my now moment. I make a new decision. I'm going on with God. And this is very important to us. It's habitual. If you look at your life, the decisions you're making, are they primarily other-centered?
Right.
If I'm in maybe it's a mother and father or a boss and a worker or whoever, but you're in a dispute with them. Maybe you didn't do your job or they didn't think you did.
Yeah.
But you're in a dispute with them. If you're walking the love walk, if you're other-centered, you will look into that other person's heart and try to see why they think that. You won't be trying to defend yourself, say, I didn't do that and get all mad. You'll try to understand where they're coming from. Because you're other-centered, or somebody takes something from you, if you're other-centered, you say, that's okay. They need it more than I do. Lord, I pray that that's a blessing to them. Instead of running after them, give me that back. You know, that's carnal. That's not other-centered. It doesn't mean you let them walk over you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you give it to them because of love, God prospers you beyond that point. He always does. He always does that. And you'll be stronger. And they'll feel guilty because they took it. And sometimes they even bring it back because you were right. You've done the loving thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that when we're doing these things or going through life, that we take a look at where we're coming from. Why am I doing this? I can be, we're talking about goodness, I can be good, as we said, for the wrong motive. If I'm good God's way, that goodness is other-centered. If I'm not doing it out of love, if I'm being good, then I get defensive when people don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's other-centered. I mean, that's self-centered. When I'm being good, and I want to be good, but someone doesn't, they won't appreciate what I give them. They throw the gift over in the car, whatever it is. The boss doesn't appreciate what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it might be the pastor doesn't appreciate what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm doing things and I'm showing myself to be good. I'm working on this.
Mm-hmm.
But then they don't appreciate it. If I get my feathers up, I'm doing it for the wrong motive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I get irritated or mad and upset because they don't like that, they don't like what I did, I'm being good for the wrong motive. I'm being good in the natural, with a natural motive behind it, self-centered motive in my goodness.
Mm.
But if I'm good and they don't appreciate it, that won't affect me the same way.
Mm.
I will continue to be good even though that boss is not appreciating what I'm doing. Even if the pastor doesn't appreciate it. Whoever it is, look inside to see what's behind my goodness. Because we can be good for the wrong motive. And it'd still be good. It'd still be something that we're doing out of a good heart.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to make ourselves look good, or we're trying to manipulate in some way, or we're just trying to accomplish something,
mm-hmm.
or feel better about myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about me. See, if we're walking in the ways of the Lord, it's about others. How they see it, what I'm doing to lift them up.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see that in our future studies on this, because it's important that we do this. Otherwise, what we're doing is mechanical.
Yeah.
It has no real spiritual value, because it might accomplish something.
Mm-hmm.
My boss might change his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he may think better of me. But somewhere along the line, that's going to fail because I'm thinking of me. Our attitude, even though when I treat that person because I'm thinking other-centered,
mm-hmm.
and they're mean to me,
mm-hmm.
even though I'm doing that, it never goes unnoticed. It never goes without a reward from the Father. And eventually that person, because it's a seed sown in love, and love never fails.
Hallelujah.
James chapter 1, better start on some scriptures here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything good comes from God.
Everything
good comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
James chapter 1, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
It's New King James. The next one will be Amplified, and for the most part, the rest of them will be New King James, except for one further down there if we get there. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What's he saying? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no shadow of turning. He's not going to turn. He's the same. There's no shadow of turning. There's no variation. There's no more powerful this day and less powerful the next. He's the same.
Amen.
Same. And he's the Father of lights, God the Father. He is light, the word says. But every good and perfect gift comes from above. Now, it doesn't mean that I can't give somebody a gift and it'd be a good gift. But ultimately, that good gift came from the Father's heart. Came into my heart, filled my heart with love, and I wanted to give somebody something that was good. Praise God. Now the next one is, God is good and does good and gives good gifts to his children.
Amen.
I keep saying these things because we need to have that rooted inside of our brain so it can get down into our heart. It's got to move from the head to the heart. if I just keep it in my brain, I'm going to mess it up somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
But once it gets to my spirit man, into my heart, moves from there, now I know. I know. No matter what my head says, my heart knows. Mm-hmm. And the head will conform to the heart. And it's just, it's important. So I need it rooted in my, what I say. I need it rooted in what I think and what I do. God is good, does good, and gives good gifts to his children. Mm-hmm. Now, to his children. He also does good for those that are not his children, mm-hmm. but he's limited to what he can do for them. Mm-hmm. They haven't authorized him. He has no divine connection to where he can flow easily into that person that's not his child, mm-hmm. that's not born again. You're born again, the flow can be there, but I can still limit it by what I believe and what I do. So this is Amplified Classic. I love this. It's good in other versions, but this in the Amplified Classic, just to me, it really says what I believe God's heart is. John 1:16, Amplified Classic. For out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received, all had a share, mm-hmm. and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Mm. To me, that shows God's heart much deeper than just he gave gifts unto men, which he did. But, you know, to me, this amplifies it in a way that I can really see mm-hmm. into God's heart, his goodness. He's good, and that's why he does this. We didn't earn any of it.
No.
He gave it if nobody ever receives it. Mm-hmm. If nobody believes it, he still gave it, gift upon gift, heaped upon gift. I like that.
Gift upon gift.
Yeah. Just, not just gift. He heaped other gifts on top of it. Praise God. Matthew 7:11. Now this is also found in Luke 11:13, but we'll use Matthew 7:11. Now the very first word in the verse is if. And we know what if is.
Conditional.
Yeah. It's if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Now, first of all, he's not saying everybody in the world is evil. Mm-hmm. They're just not connected to God. At this point, they were all separated from God. They were not born again. They couldn't be. The cross hadn't happened. So he said, if you, being just a common, everyday human, know how to do good things for your children, how much more does God the Father want to do good to you? Mm-hmm. He wants to. Gift heaped upon gift, as we just read. Mm-hmm. He's not holding back. Mm-hmm. God is not holding anything back. Mm-hmm. There's not one thing that God is holding back. Mm-hmm. It's all available to whoever will. Mm-hmm. But there has to be a connection. You know, this computer and this TV set will not function, even though it is able to, unless it's plugged in and turned on. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is with these gifts and things God's done. We have to have a connection, be able to connect, mm-hmm. and then we have to connect. Being able to connect mm-hmm. is getting born again. Mm-hmm. Connecting is what I do with what he's given. Mm-hmm. Receive what he's given by faith. Act on what he said to do. Bring my thoughts and my ways and my thinking over back in line with God's will and word. Then he can function. He can pour out. But if I, even though have a connection available, but I'm not turning it on, it can be plugged in, but it's useless till it's turned on. So even though I have all of that, but I don't do my part, then he can't. We blame God for it. But he can't move till I move.
Right.
He will not go against our free will. He will not do it, even though he wants to. He'll do everything he can to make it known to us. He'll do everything he can. But it's still up to us. Romans 8 and verse 31. With all that in mind, let's look at this one. I love the way Paul put this. It's time we start thinking this way. What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, well, that's a no-brainer. He is. So if God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, there's not anyone can be against me successfully if God is for me. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If it's a thing, and it's related to godliness, he's given it to us. Yeah. It doesn't mean I'm receiving it. Mm-hmm. See, there's always, no matter when you read these things, you've got to automatically put choice in there. Even though it's given, I have to receive. If I don't receive, it's still mine, but it's not going to function. Because everything God does in and through us and for us, we're involved. He doesn't do it alone. He put us here, gave Adam the authority to take dominion, and he expects us to do that. We take dominion with his word. It's final authority, and we need to believe it that way. With the Holy Spirit, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness, dwelling in us through the knowledge of God by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Notice the conditions there. With the Holy Spirit, okay, do we have the Holy Spirit? Yes, we're born again. The Holy Spirit came in. Even if I didn't do anything after getting born again, he's still there. So, with the Holy Spirit, or with those who are born again, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things that pertain to life and godliness has already been given to us. He's not holding anything back. They're right. They're mine now. All things pertain to life and godliness dwelling in us through the knowledge of God by the Holy Spirit. So it's through the knowledge of him or through the word. And we'll see that in Scripture because we're going to 2 Peter 1, verse 2. I do the whole thing. He gives us the building blocks which line up with the fruit of the Spirit. But we're not going to take time for that or we won't get anywhere. But I encourage you to read it all the way through probably down to 11 and study it and look at what he's saying. You'll find out that what Peter is saying lines up 100% with the fruit of the Spirit, which is what we're talking about. The only difference is Paul starts with love because everything flows from love. Peter works toward love. Love is the where it leads to with Peter. Paul starts with love. But you can lay them over each other. 2 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, it's not added to us. It's multiplied. So he's multiplying this to us. He's not just giving it to us. He's not just laying it out there. He's multiplying whatever we have. He's multiplying it to us. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Comes right down to knowledge of God. And of Jesus our Lord, verse 3. As his divine power has, and we all know that's past tense, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Again, it's through the knowledge of him. who called us by his by glory and virtue. So we're called to this. But how many of you know that if you're called to something, doesn't mean you're answering the call?
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, phone rings all the time.
The majority of us don't answer the call. I think we all are, but when Mama called me, I didn't always come. But like her, you could hear her a long way from the house. Frank! Yeah. And went on down there.
Well, your mom used to stand on the back porch and yell, "Michael!" when we was in our house trailer.
Yeah. I was inside. It was from here
in bed on Sunday morning
to the other side of that house next door. And she'd holler on the back porch, hollering all that distance and expect me to hear.
Well, I heard her. See?
But that's the way, I mean, I was called.
You were called.
But I didn't answer. And when I was younger, there was a consequence for that. We have been called to glory and virtue. It doesn't mean virtue, meaning excellence. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean we're going to walk in the glory. It doesn't mean we're going to walk in excellence. Mm-hmm. It means we're called there. And if God called us there, he doesn't make provision after we get there. Mm-hmm. He's already provided it.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And we get to the glory and the virtue through the knowledge of him, mm-hmm. through the knowledge of his word. You think I'm going to get there and never open the Bible? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to make it. Okay, so verse 4. By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, the word, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. How did we escape it? We're walking in love. What is the divine nature of God?
Love.
Love. The divine nature of God is also goodness. Mm-hmm. It's also kindness. And all the fruit of the Spirit, those are his ways. That's who he is. So because we're walking in those, we're escaping the lust that is in this world. We have a new mind, a new way of living, a new way of thinking. Mm-hmm. We're filtering our life through his love walk, through his word. Glory to God. So we've been given these things. God has heaped these gifts upon us. Mm-hmm. He, in his goodness, he's given them to us. Mm-hmm. What are we doing with them? The most important gift is salvation, naturally. Mm-hmm. And there are scriptures for that. Philippians 4:19. This is a good one, and most people use it for money, but it's not just talking about money. The context in which it was written at the time Paul was speaking is talking about finances and giving, mm-hmm. but it covers every area of life, not just money. Mm-hmm. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need. How many of you know that we have other needs besides money? And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So his riches and glory is how he's supplying these needs. What is his riches and glory? The fullness of who he is.
Amen.
It all comes through his word, like Peter said. Mm-hmm. We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Mm-hmm. Paul is saying all of your needs are met.
Amen.
You know, so how is it met? Through his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Through the word of God, through knowing this word, through knowledge of him. Glory to God. That's exciting when we can look at that. And as we started, we talked about the absolute truths of God's word. Am I taking these things as absolute truth? Mm-hmm. Or am I reasoning them out? Well, yeah, I know it says that, but you know what happened last year when I tried that? Mm-hmm. I failed. Mm-hmm. No, the word didn't fail. You yourself failed because you didn't do the word. Mm-hmm. You failed on the word, but the word didn't fail. Mm-hmm. The word never fails. Yeah. It can't, because it's God himself. God and his word are one. It's not possible for the promises to fail. I may misunderstand them. Yes. I may not understand what they are, what it's actually saying, or I may be allowing other things to enter in to stealing that word from me and moving me away from it. But the word's true. The word will work if you work it.
Work the word.
It cannot fail. He fills our hungry souls with good things. And we know what our souls are. We've studied that many times. We're a tripart being, spirit, soul, and body. Our soul is our mind, emotions, and will. So he fills our hungry souls. Is your mind, emotions, and will hungry for God? He'll fill it. Or are you starving your mind, emotions, and will? Mm-hmm. Are your mind, emotions, and will governing your life? How you think and see and talk and what you do? Or are you allowing the word to dictate and the spirit man inside to control those things? That's how we take things captive. We take it according to the word. So he satisfies, he fills our soul, hungry souls with good things. See, Psalm 107 and verse 8 and 9. This is the psalmist was going through. He says this kind of over and over again through the psalm. But I like the way he says it because it's the heart of God. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Have you ever just taken time to thank God for his goodness? We need to do that. We need to, it puts us in a position to not only be aware of his goodness and acknowledge it, but it puts us in a place that we connect with it. You know, but thanksgiving is you when you are thankful for something, you're receiving it. That's when you receive. So it's important when you're talking to God, be thankful for what? Voice the thanksgiving for what you're praying for. And from the time you are thanking him for that answer based on the word, don't go back guessing at it anymore, doubting it, thinking it's not working. If you prayed it, if you agreed with his word and you meant business, it's yours.
Amen.
So from that time, you thank him for it. Mm-hmm. And every time doubt comes in, you thank him for the answer. You stay connected. Stay connected with the word. Amen. Don't let doubt come in and say, well, I don't know if it's working or not. It's working. That's the way I've got to have my head tuned in. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean. It's got to move from the head to the heart. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's saying here.
That's one of the first lies that Satan gives you when you get born again.
Yeah.
That wasn't real. That don't mean nothing.
Yeah.
It does.
I know it does.
It means eternity.
Yeah. Well, then we try to...
I don't think that worked.
He don't win.
Yeah.
He don't win.
He's good even if we don't thank him for it. But I receive, the goodness is activated when I do that. I connect with it. Mm-hmm. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Mm-hmm. For he satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. Mm-hmm. Glory be to God. He fills my mind and emotions and my will with his goodness. And then I can think. Then I can make decisions. Then I can see him working in his word. Then I can set my love upon him. And we have a relationship together that maybe nobody around me has. They'll call me weird, stupid, dumb, holier than thou and everything else, but I'm going with God.
Amen.
You know? What you're doing is short term. What I'm doing is eternity. I'd much rather do this than that. Glory be to God. Psalm 34, verse 8. I love Psalm 34. It's another one of them that I make it a point to confess every day. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what we need, just a taste. Well, how can you get a taste of something? You come to it. You receive it, don't you? Can you stand in the other room and taste a meal in the other room? You can't. In order to taste that meal, you got to go where the meal is, don't you? And then it's got to rise from the plate to your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to give the example of In Walmart, you can get, they used to, I don't know if they still do, have sample different kind of things. And usually it's just like some kind of chips or some kind of meat or something like that. One day I went in there and they had the Whitman sampler. Everybody know what the Whitman sampler is? It's the best, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, what's that other one, that other chocolate?
Russell Stover.
Can't hold a candle to the Whitman sampler, okay? And that's what they had for samples, but you didn't get a piece. They cut those pieces in little bitty pieces. That's what you got, just a taste. And I was thinking, if you just taste that, that's what that scripture immediately came to me. Yeah. Taste and see that the Lord
taste
is good.
Taste and see.
Don't take much.
Don't take much, because God is good. And if you give him just a little bit of, just a little bit of area, he'll flood in there. He'll do it because that's what he wants to do. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. That's another part. I like to dissect sentences and verses. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Then I got to ask myself, do I trust him? Do I? We talked earlier about granting trust. Have I granted my trust to God in this circumstance? Do I trust him? If I do, then there needs to be some evidence of that. As I walk through my life and as this sickness is moving or whatever it is, and I trust you, God. I say that all the time because I want to. I want my ears to hear it. I want to hear me say it because it helps me to conform to it. And then as I say it, if I've given the Holy Spirit permission, you'll hear this. Do you? I trust you, Lord. Do you? Do you? Then why are you doing this? Yeah. Or like a guy that was pushing the wheelbar across Grand Canyon.
Oh, Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Pushing on a tightrope crossing. Went over and came back. And the guy said, oh, that's awesome. That's just awesome. You believe I can do it again? He said, yeah. Get in the wheelbar. sometimes that's what God does. He puts you in a place where you have to. It's not he's not proving you. He's getting you to prove yourself. He's wanting you to get to the place where you do trust. Once you get to that place, and sometimes it's a process there. And sometimes you have to keep doing it and keep making the decision. What are you trusting? Is the next question. I'm trusting you, Lord. But what about me are you trusting? I'm trusting you that I'm healed. Okay, where do you get that at? See, when you go to the scriptures and it says, by his stripes ye were healed, I trust your word, Lord. I trust that. Now you got an anchor for your trust. But if you just generally throw trust out there, it may or may not stick. What are you trusting him for, and what's your basis for that trust? What did he say? So this is important as we're going through troubles and problems in life. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him, or empowered to prosper in whatever you need. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. Okay, now how can I trust him and be afraid of him at the same time? See, this is a good scripture for what we talk about. It doesn't mean be afraid of him. We've talked about that much, but some people get this only CD. It means reverential fear. And if you go to dictionaries, you'll see that as one of the definitions for fear. Reverential fear of a deity or a higher power. So, I always, when I see that in context here with what is being said, if the Bible's not actually talking about being afraid of something, I mean being afraid of it, if it's talking about this, I know that I can't trust him. I know that I'm not going to go to him if I'm afraid of him. So that cannot be talking about that kind of fear. So I know it's reverential fear. So the way I say it is, oh, reverentially and fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who reverentially fear you. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now we're back to good things again. It doesn't mean you won't lack that ability to play, and you won't lack the money that you need to gamble with. Doesn't mean you won't lack that, because that's not a good thing. But it means you're not going to lack the money you need to be a giver, to sow into other people's lives, and that you're able to meet your own personal needs that you have day to day. He will meet that. But there again, there are some qualifications to that, so we need to know that too. But we shall not lack any good thing. Now that's a promise I can take. If I'm lacking something that's good, I can go to the Lord and say, Father, your word says, I should not lack any good thing. This over here is a good thing. Why am I lacking it? What's God going to say? He's going to show you where that lack originated at. We tend to see this one thing that I'm lacking, but we don't tend to see the mechanics of how that got there. How I spent this money going on a cruise. And I come back and I couldn't pay the car payment. Or I was short on food. How did that lack come about? What decisions were made that produced it? God supplied the need. But in another place it says, he sows in Colossians, it says, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, it says, if he provides seed for the sower and bread for your food. What happens if you eat the seed? You don't have no food. He gave you the seed so that you could sow it, so that you have food the next time. But he also gives you the bread for your food now. If you misuse that, then you got the lack. So what's God going to do when it says you have no lack and you claim that scripture? He's going to start showing you what happened and how to fix it. I made the mistakes. I made the rotten choices. But he can show me how to fix my rotten choices.
Yes.
So I still use that scripture to stand on. I still say, I trust you, Lord, with that scripture. Knowing that he's going to teach me. Because there's other scriptures that say, they'll teach me how to choose. And Psalm 32 says that also. He teaches me how to choose or how to correct my mistakes. But I have to stay locked in. See? It's dependent on what I do. I trust you, Lord, to show me this. Show me where I'm falling short. I know you meet my needs. You said you would. So that's a covenant. So I believe that. Show me why I have this problem. And then teach me how to fix it. And then whatever he says, do it. Now, it may take you some time to hear that. Or to hear his direction. But stay there. Thank him for thanking you, Lord. I haven't got no revelation yet on this that I know of, but Lord, I thank you that you're teaching me. You just keep going back there. You're not saying I don't, you're not doubting him. You're trusting him to give it over a process of time. You're placing yourself in a position to hear. Glory to God. But those who seek the Lord, notice there's a seeking involved, shall not lack any good thing. So see, it's geared to and linked to what the person does. It always is. Now, with this Amplified Classic, Matthew 6:33, we talked about seeking just a moment ago. But seek, aim at, and strive after first of all. That's where we fall short. It's not first. We put everything else as more important. But it's not more important. And we will reap based on the importance that we apply to it. But seek, aim at, and strive after first of all his kingdom and his righteousness. His way of doing and being right. Not our way of doing and being right, His way. Mm-hmm. And then, when I do that, mm-hmm. see, there's a condition there. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So it's not only what you're asking for that He'll give you because you positioned yourself for Him to be able to, but additional. Not just what you need, but additional and besides. Because you're doing your part. We should never stop seeking and aiming at and striving after His kingdom. That's what we do when we walk the love walk. Every time I choose to walk the love walk, every time I give Him to His word and treat it as absolute truth, I'm seeking His kingdom. Mm-hmm. And when I do that, I'm positioned then for Him to move. Mm-hmm. It's this big barrier there, and all of His goodness is pushing against it. But until I open the door, it can't come in. Part of the seeking process is to meditate on the word, as we discussed last week in Joshua 1:8, and we didn't mention Psalm 1. But Psalm 1 says that this person that's blessed will meditate on the word day and night. And we talked about what day and night means. It means that whatever you're doing throughout your day, you can bring it into, you can filter it through the word. You can be praying, you can be listening, you can be blessing people, you can be talking to the Father throughout your day. No matter what you're doing, you can do that. You can meditate on scriptures and things of God. Instead of meditating on how bad the boss is and how much you want to get out of here, you know, that clock is still on 2 o'clock. That was 3 hours ago and it's still on. The battery dead?
You know?
No, the battery's not dead and the clock is moving. Instead of doing that, you can say, thank you, Lord, for my job. Thank you, Lord. I have difficulties here and there occasionally, but I know, Lord, that you're with me. You can do all of that while you're busy working. God created us for goodness. That's probably we're created for it. It's not something that God just chose a few of us. But if we're born, if we're part of this life, we've been chosen for goodness. We may not live it, but we've been chosen to be good. He created us for that. Ephesians 2:8. And I'm going to stop somewhere along in here real quickly. I think I can do that after this one, I think. Yeah. God created us for goodness. Ephesians 2:8, New King James. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So see, the good works that He prepared, what He calls good works, are already present. They're already there. He doesn't come up with something occasionally, say, now, I've seen John over there. He's going through a bad time. Go do a good work. Mm-hmm. No, He didn't prepare John to be bad or to have a problem. Mm-hmm. But He prepared your heart for that good work. Mm-hmm. He prepared you in a way that you would recognize the issue he was having mm-hmm. and be able to meet that need. Mm-hmm. You know, she was prepared for me. I don't know if she likes that or not. But we were prepared for each other. And we're prepared for each other here in this Bible study. A church group is prepared for each other. They're prepared for one another. You know, the people I pray for every day, I don't even know. Don't even know they exist. But they're out there somewhere because God's taken those prayers and applying it to them. He prepared me for that good work that I could lay down my life to pray for someone I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, or prepare, or he prepared me to pray for our president, to pray for our elected officials, to pray for the babies that are not here yet.
Yes.
That might be aborted. They're not going to be. Mm-hmm. Not the ones I pray for. Mm-hmm. They're going to make it. But he prepared people for that work mm-hmm. beforehand. So we're all prepared for good works. beforehand. I love that. He foreordained. Glory be to God. You know, we'll talk about this next week, but Scripture says that we're to be imitators of God. We'll talk about that next week. I want to talk about it tonight, but we'll talk about it next week. He's prepared us the good works, and then in order to do the good works, we're supposed to be imitating Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Scripture says to be imitators of God. God is love. We are love. God is good. We are good. We have been created by God's goodness as a reflection of His goodness to do good. We've been created for that. Or are we doing it? Or are we reflecting the evil one? Is our emotion so high, and do I live on them where I'm hurting people all the time, whether I'm mean? You know, I'm not reflecting His goodness. That's not what I've been created for. But we've been created to reflect or be a mirror of God's goodness. And I like that. I like knowing that God cares so much for me that He's placed other people in my life that can reflect His goodness.
Amen.
As I look at them, I know they're good because God is good. I know that.
Amen.
And it puts me in a place where I'm even more determined to be good and to reflect the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I like that. Father, we thank You for this word today. We thank You, Father, for the anointing on Your word. And yes, Lord, some of these things might be a little hard for us, but we know Your goodness. And we know, Lord, that You'll strengthen us and keep us. We know, Lord, that You're teaching us, and that, Lord, You already have an inner image,
yes,
of who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be. And You're supplying those needs. You never tell us anything that we're to do without supplying the ability, the need, and everything that's required to accomplish that. And we thank You for it, Father. Cause us to have open ears to hear. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.